Real Steel. It's that time of year. There's never an off time of year for steel products because they make sure your home, your garden, your lawn, your neighbor's property, everything is in tip-top shape year-round. But come on, man, spring is upon us. So you need to go to Steel USA. That's STIHL, steelusa.com, and check out all their products. They have all kinds of deals going right now, money off on trimmers, hedge cutters, mowers, pruners. I love that zero turn mower. I was telling you about that a couple of weeks ago. They right now have 0% financing on the zero turn mowers, all kinds of battery powered products. They're the best in the business. And it's that time of year, man. You're going to be cleaning up out front. The snow, hopefully, most of it is behind us. And you want to make sure that your property is the best on the block. So go to steeldealers.com to find the dealer near you, more than 10,000 around the country. It's Steel, STIHL.
This week on the Drew Goodman Podcast, talking NCAA tournament and an old friend and new TV play-by-play announcer for the Oakland Athletics, Jenny Kavnar.
It came with so much excitement and then so much sadness that our family, or what I have considered family for the last 12 years, that I wasn't going to get to be with you guys every day.
And the recognition for making history.
Billie Jean King tweeting about me, you know, getting to go on the Today Show, having managers, current players, former players, Trevor Hoffman texting me out of the blue.
Subscribe to the Drew Goodman Podcast wherever you find podcasts and tell your agent. This is the Drew Goodman Podcast.
And it's all Colorado State dominates Virginia, and they punch their ticket to Charlotte.
And it's Colorado dancing on to take on Florida on Friday afternoon in Indianapolis.
Yeah, how about that? Two teams in the Centennial State moving on as we tape in the NCAA tournament. And I'll tell you that we're taping on a Thursday afternoon. Went a little later this week because I wanted to see how CU did on Wednesday night against Boise State. The two close friends, the coaches, Tad Boyle, Leon Rice, getting together. And Colorado prevailed. And, of course, Colorado State blew out Virginia a couple of nights ago. So, literally, as soon as I'm done taping the podcast, Colorado State is going to tee it up against the University of Texas in the round of 64. So, perhaps by the time you listen to this, I'm sure the game will have been decided. And Colorado goes on Friday against Florida. But, you know what? It's March Madness. You're required, if you have any passing interest in sports, to watch, to observe, and certainly doing what I do for a living, to comment. So I, like many of you, I'm in a couple of pools. I'm actually in more this year than I've ever been. I'm in three different pools. I don't usually go hog wild. I usually have, you know, one or two, but I actually have four different brackets. I'm excited about that. Because normally I don't do that thing. Now, my youngest son, he goes nuts. He usually has 35 or 40. They're not all involving money, just so you know, if you were concerned. My oldest son has this ongoing pool that I'm a part of. And I can already tell we're like mid-afternoon, day one. There's only a few finals, but I can only already tell you of the two that I submitted in his pool, I like one bracket a lot more than the other one. I had Duquesne beating BYU, 11 seed over 6 seed. So I'm like really fired up about that. And there was another game that I picked on there. I'm trying to find it. I had Michigan State winning. You know, that wasn't like a huge upset. It wasn't an upset perhaps at all. Michigan State over Mississippi State. It's fun. I think there's nothing better than the first round, right? Because everybody wants to go, yep, I had that 12 seed moving on. Like in one of my pools, I have James Madison beating Wisconsin, a 12 over a 5. And I'm probably like you, you sometimes can't get your arms around James Madison out of the Colonial is going to beat Wisconsin out of the Big Ten. Come on, that can't really happen. It's a 5 versus a 12. We all understand how that works. And yet, it's basketball. There's 5 guys on the floor. James Madison may have had a really nice player fall into their lap, and they have complimentary players, and they may be better than Wisconsin. You know, Duquesne not the name school that BYU is, but they handle BYU comfortably. So I think that's the beauty of the tournament, obviously. The first round, the first weekend. It's amazing, though. The Blue Bloods do typically stick around and are often, you know, involved on the Final Four weekend. So many people have UConn winning it all. I have UConn winning it all in the bracket I like better than the other bracket I was mentioning. I have Purdue winning in that other one. But it's fun. It's good stuff. And specific to Colorado and Colorado State. So when you hear this, Colorado State will have already either won or lost against the University of Texas. I'm particularly pleased that both schools made the tournament. I'm very fond of Nico Medved. I pull hard for Colorado State. I pull for Colorado. I had them a number of times this year. And both teams, as it turned out, which was kind of shocking, were on the bubble and both had to play play-in games. Nobody saw that with Colorado State. I think with Colorado, you knew that they were, you know, touch and go. The committee did not give the Mountain West much credit, if you will. Higher seeds, six teams get in. Had New Mexico not won the tournament, I don't think New Mexico was going to get in. And that was disappointing, but they always kind of lean toward the bigger conferences. I believe when it comes to Colorado and Colorado State, both were absolutely deserving. Colorado dealt with a lot of injuries this year. Cody Williams was in and out of the lineup. Now they have him coming off the bench. He's played the last couple of games. In the case of Colorado State, they got off to the fabulous start, reached number 13 in the country. And then through the rigorous Mountain West Conference, they were just okay. You know, and they ended up finishing seventh in the league. This was a team that was 13th in the nation. At one point, I think they were 13-1 or something along those lines, and looked like, you know, they were going to contend to win the Mountain West. It didn't turn out that way, but both were clearly deserving of being in the field of 68. And I'm thrilled that they won that opening round game. Now, I have Colorado State. I think they can beat Texas. We'll find out here in a couple of hours. And for me, I think Colorado is sneaky good. I've looked at a lot of mock drafts, and Colorado has three guys that may get drafted this year. Clearly, Cody Williams is going to go among, it looks like, top half dozen picks, just based on potential, even though the freshman hasn't played a ton this year. He's been effective in many games when he has been healthy. And then you have Tristan DeSilva and KJ Simpson. KJ Simpson has played at an All-American level this year. He is tough-minded. He has one gear, and that is, you know, fifth gear. He can beat you a number of ways. He's absolutely fearless, and you need a guy like that in the tournament. The other guy that I just mentioned was Tristan DeSilva. Tristan DeSilva has always been silky smooth, you know, 6'8.5", 6'9", can shoot it from the perimeter, can put it on the floor, can do a lot of things. There's been a lot of games, and he'd be the first to admit it. I've had this conversation with him where he's, I don't want to say disappeared, but he's not as aggressive as he needs to be. And he told me, he goes, that's always been the knock on me. It's something I've always dealt with. When I saw him play in that play-in game against Boise State, who's also very good and scrappy, I saw the Tristan DeSilva that NBA scouts have an interest in. He was aggressive. He rebounded the basketball. He shot it well. I thought late in the shot clock that kind of push three-pointer he made in the second half may have been the biggest shot of the game, kind of turned things for Colorado fairly late. If Tristan DeSilva plays that aggressively, look out for Colorado. They can win a couple of games. I'm excited about their prospects, and I'm thrilled that they're in because they deserve to be in. They're not 67 better teams in the country, not even close. And the same thing for Colorado State. I know the narrative, and it pisses people off in Fort Collins and followers of the Rams, that all of the conversation and the aftermath of that blowout victory, a 25-point win over the University of Virginia, national champs just a few years ago under Coach Bennett, was all about, oh, Virginia did not deserve to be in. They got in because, you know, they're the ACC. They're somewhat of a blue blood, and they kept out Indiana State. They kept out St. John's, whatever school that may have gotten snubbed. Give Colorado State some credit. Colorado State played great defense that night, and they were unbelievably efficient offensively. I think they could have shot it better. They missed a bunch of layups. They still shot it around 55%. That's the highest field goal percentage that the vaunted Virginia defense had allowed all season long. But it's never going to be about that. It's always going to be about the bigger name school. And so Colorado State hopefully will carry that chip on their shoulder against a kind of a mid-level Texas team. Very winnable game. The one thing that concerns me about Colorado State is size. I think length can really hurt them. They're physical with Scott. They're physical but undersized. And they need a big game from Isaiah Stevens. They didn't really need him to shoot the basketball in that play-in game against Virginia, but they're going to need him to win ball games in the tournament. So I'm excited about both of those schools. You have two great coaches, two great men in Tad Boyle and Nico Medved. So that's going to be fun to follow them. Again, when you listen to this, you're going to know the outcome certainly of the Colorado State game and maybe Colorado as they go tomorrow. There is some advantage, by the way, for those that are wondering, man, Colorado State just finished in their tournament. Then they had to play the play-in game Tuesday. They arrived in Charlotte in the middle of the night. They have like one day to prepare, and then they're playing late afternoon, early evening on Thursday. But it can be advantageous because the other teams have been off for a while, and whatever jitters, and there will be jitters for all those kids at every school, Colorado State's probably gotten them out of the way. So, and the same thing for Colorado. But the tournament's fun. It's a blast, and it's fun, especially that first weekend, as we were talking about, to see which ones of your upsets you called. So there you go. Best of luck to the Buffs and the Rams. Moving on to the game of baseball. Been back and forth to Scottsdale. Heading back down in about 36 hours from now. And that'll be for good, because we'll televise the final spring training game on Tuesday, and then the season begins in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks on Thursday, and then the Rockies will go from the relative heat of the desert in the latter part of March to frigid Chicago and Lake Michigan and take on the Cubs for three ball games. That'll be the opening home series for the Cubs as well. And then the Rockies come home and they'll have a day off Thursday, and they'll get ready to play Tampa for their home opener on the weekend, that first week of April. I'm excited. I'm ready to get going. I know I said this last week. We get a lot of questions on television and where you can see it, in addition to the streaming opportunities on MLB on the app, and paying $99 for the season, or $20 basically a month. But there will be, from what I've been told, there will be cable options, satellite options. We will not learn about those until probably within 24 hours of opening day next Thursday. So that's all I can tell you about that, because I don't know any more than you know. And I know a lot of people, if you've reached out on social media, I apologize. There's nothing I can say, because I don't, as I said, I don't know anything more. I've just been told that there will be options, and it's, you know, going to be announced prior to opening day. There's a guy I want to focus in on right now before we get to the interview with Jenny, and that is Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers has always been intriguing. You know, he's a really high pick, was he drafted fourth, I believe, overall, a number of years ago at a St. Mary's High School in the Orlando area, by the Rockies. And he dealt with so many freakish injuries throughout his minor league career and really in his big league career. I mean, last year, he only played 46 games. his high water mark is 137 games. Last year in spring training, it was like the first day of spring training, he dives for a baseball up the middle, a ground ball, and he subluxes his shoulder and has to have surgery. And I thought it was really important that he got back on the field and played major league competition late in the year, but it was only 46 games. His high water mark was 2 years ago when he played 137. And this is his age 27 going into his age 28 year. That's, you know, your prime in the studies in baseball are between the ages of 26 and 32. So he's right in the middle of his prime. I think in August, he'll be 28. Brendan Rodgers needs the good fortune of having good health because there's no question about his talent. He can really swing the bat. He has been streaky at the major league level. He has, in the past, unfortunately, gotten off to slow starts in April, and he needs to get off to a fast start. He's had a very good spring. As we tape this today, he's hitting, you know, I think 385. I talked to him for a while last week when I was down. He's in a good place. Body feels good. Mentally, he feels good. And I think for the Rockies to take that next step, there are so many folks we talk about, you know, the Nolan Jones's second year. He had such a terrific first year, as did Ezekiel Tovar. There's some guys that are knocking at the door, led probably by outfielder Jordan Beck. But for the Rockies, you know, and I don't see this isn't probably going to be a playoff year. We know that the division's brutal to begin with, and the Rockies are rebuilding, they're retooling. But part of that has to be the good health and steady, well above average play offensively and defensively from their second baseman, Brendan Rodgers. In addition, we know to Chris Bryant staying on the field and the continued maturation of the aforementioned Tovar and Jones and Doyle, and then that next wave that'll be up at some point in time. But Brendan Rodgers kind of now gets lost in the shuffle because he ain't young anymore. You know, this is an 18-year-old kid who was drafted and celebrated. This is a guy, as I said, who's going to be 28 in August. And I love the kid and I love his talent. This is an important year for him, really important year. So I wanted to mention that on B-Rod. So I had an opportunity. I mean, Jenny Kavnar is a dear friend and a colleague, and you all love her. She's been inundated because when it was announced that she's going to be the lead television play-by-play person for the Oakland A's, it's groundbreaking. And it ought to be celebrated. It has been celebrated, but she's been making the tour of you know, doing a multitude of interviews, including, of course, the Today Show, where she absolutely killed it. So I've been kind of biding my time when I'm going to when I was going to ask her to be on the podcast, which is, you know, a kind of a running joke in our television family. You know, when I mentioned my podcast and so on, so it's kind of funny, but Jenny and I actually ran into each other because Oakland was playing the Rockies, and we weren't televising that game. Jenny and the A's weren't televising it, but naturally she came by, so it was awesome. We all got to hang out in the booth and shoot the shit and have a great time. And then I took advantage of that opportunity to talk shop with Jenny and all of the things that have transpired in her life over the last couple of months. And I'm glad that we can share that conversation now. Jenny Kavnar, unfortunately, but fortunately, no longer part of Rockies broadcast, but she's going to be leading the broadcast of the Oakland A's on television this year, and I'm thrilled for her. Okay, this is so perfect. The Colorado Rockies are playing the Oakland A's. And the new television play-by-play person for the Oakland A's just happens to be in attendance. How are you?
Hi.
I already introduced you, so that's why I didn't have to say that. I did that in the first part. You're looking at me going, well, aren't you going to say my name? I just did say your name, but I haven't recorded that part yet. We're going to edit that later. Actually, to be honest, I'm not going to edit that. Someone else, you know,
You know I don't know jack about any of that stuff. Anyhow, how are you?
Oh my gosh, nothing has changed. Right. Wow, it's so good to see you. I come to see my old friends at the Rockies, and I get drug into Drew's podcast. Couldn't be more happy to be doing this with you right now.
I know. So we got to take people behind the curtain. Folks, there's a running joke, and has been for years since I started this podcast, how many times I'll mention that I have a podcast on television. And when I do, everyone else, it was like the old Dynasty thing, had to do a shot, right?
Everyone. And then that didn't go well because everyone was really inebriated after you said podcast right. For the eighth time.
After the game, not during the game.
Of course. It also is a game that you can play when Drew mentions that he has a book that you can buy.
I haven't done that one in a while. I mean, if I mention that one, because that book's now a few years old, I think that's a good one. I'm going to start breaking that one out.
Get the book back out.
Yeah, you got to do three shots if I mention that.
Gosh, oh boy. Yeah, it's not going to be good. You doing good?
I'm doing really well. The knee, you know, it's coming along. 50 days post-surgery as we tape this. How are you, though? We've talked a bunch of times, but congratulations officially on my podcast.
I now feel like I have the job because you've congratulated me on the podcast. Thank you. It has been an absolute whirlwind, as we've talked about. I think, you know, so many things, so many emotions, right? It was really hard for all of us last year, not really knowing what was going on with the television deal. And you kind of start spinning your wheels. Well, if there isn't a job opportunity, should I start looking other places? The off season comes and really this opportunity was presented to me, and I felt like this door being open, the timing couldn't have been better. It was a great opportunity to pursue it. And then, you know, obviously it came with so much excitement and then so much sadness that our family, or what I have considered family for the last 12 years, that I wasn't going to get to be with you guys every day. So that has been very hard. But I am very excited. I have a great new TV crew in Oakland, and everyone's been very welcoming. I'm excited to get started.
You ought to be excited, and I understand those emotions because our group really close, and we have a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
But this opportunity, no brainer, and groundbreaking, which, you know, I loved one of the things that you said. That you hope one day, and I think we all hope one day, that it's no longer mentionable that, oh, Jenny's a woman. Well, we obviously know that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, okay, this person got that job, that person got this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think when the moniker of first started coming out, and back when I filled in for you in 2018 for the first time, you know, that caused some attention because of the historical context to it. And it's uncomfortable for me, you know me, it's uncomfortable to have that spotlight in that regard. But I also understand the importance of it the more I do to talk about it, because by being a first, you hope that it's not the last, and you hope that it's opening up a door for other people to have opportunities, for other women to have opportunities in this game and to continue to grow, you know, in their crafts and whatever they want to do. So I just really feel very honored, very grateful to be a part of that conversation, and have other women that have come before me that I can consider really good friends now. Jessica Mendoza, who's been, you know, doing this as an analyst. Susan Waldman has been fantastic to me. And I look around from when I got in this business as a sports broadcaster and baseball specific in 2007 with the Padres to now in 2024 going into this new job. And I'm so impressed by how many people I see that look like me all around the game. In uniform, in the front office, as a GM, as a broadcaster, behind the scenes in production. It's really not abnormal anymore. And I think when I started, it was. I kind of stood out amongst the crowd because sometimes you were the only female in a clubhouse or in a room or on a team plane or whatever it might be. And that's just not the case anymore.
I remember when women who were working, whether it be in television or it was typically in television, weren't allowed to fly on charters. It was like, well, this is males only, other than flight. Well, a lot of the flight attendants, in fact, typically were all women. but you couldn't. I mean, it made no sense. So we've come a long way since then. I got to ask you, because I haven't yet in our conversation since, when you first heard, you know, I put this in air quotes, it is a form of show business, right? Mm-hmm. You're auditioning for different roles, and it'd be like a young actor all of a sudden getting a major part, a lead role, right? That's what you got. What was your reaction? Were you with Steve, your husband, or do you remember when you got the phone call and you go, oh my God, what? Tell us your reaction.
Yeah, I think this process was so different because the woman that hired me, Devin Fox, has been a good friend of mine for a long time, and she's been asking me for probably the last 2 years consistently, like, what are you doing? What's happening? Like, anytime a season would end, you know, they didn't have any job openings. But really, her vision was she wanted me to come do play-by-play for one of her teams. They have basketball, they have baseball in the Bay Area, and it was always like, now's not a great time. My husband just started the fire academy. He's a firefighter now. We're moving to a new house, and again, like I said, this was the right time. So her and I have been talking about this for so long that the interview and the audition process were a little less like getting those feelings of like I'm competing amongst all these people. And really, when we sat down for our interview, I prepared. I had all these notes, and she's like, okay, so the first question is, do you really want this job? Are you serious about it? So I kind of knew that was the direction we'd be going. But you're right, to officially get the phone call and know that not only it's going to change the course of my direction, it's going to change the course of perhaps my family, and if we do end up moving one day, it's going to change a lot. And so I think for me, that was the shift of just like, wow, that was the feelings and the excitement that came with it. But yeah, I called Steve, I called my husband, he was working that day, and we got to share excitement over it. I called my family. And then I had to keep it secret for a pretty long time. They, in the Bay Area, the 49ers were kind of on a run to the postseason or to the playoffs, and they thought it would lead to the Super Bowl, and sure enough, it did. So they held off the announcement until after the Super Bowl. So I found out right before the holidays, and then I had to wait on it for like 6 weeks. But started kind of making phone calls, obviously, you know, to the Rockies, having those conversations. And then as it got closer, I told my now boss, I said, I have certain people I really want to tell the news to before it comes out. And you being one of those, our TV family. So it was fun to make those phone calls and like just get to have good conversations.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was special. That was special for me. So who did you hear from that you were like, holy shit, this person's reaching out to me? Because I'm sure, yeah, I mean,
there was a lot.
There had to be.
Yeah, there was a lot. And, you know, obviously just getting congratulatory text messages from your friends and family means so much. But to your point, you're hearing from people who now know your name that maybe didn't before. And
it's kind of weird,
you've
right?
Known their name for a long time. So Billie Jean King tweeting about me, you know, getting to go on the Today Show was just this.
Oh, we're going to talk about that,
okay,
by the way.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I'll just skim over that for now. But meeting Hoda, having Hoda talking to you was pretty cool. I think for me, the ones that meant so much was in baseball, right? That's where we work. So for people within the game to recognize you, is pretty special. Having managers and current players, former players, players I covered back in San Diego, Trevor Hoffman texting me out of the blue. This was so cool. I don't even know I told you this, but Michael Kadire, LaTroy Hawkins, and Justin Morneau were together at spring training with the Minnesota Twins, and they made me a video congratulating me and sent it to me. And that was pretty... That blew my mind because I respect those three so much. I really enjoyed covering all of them in their careers. But they're so far removed from when I covered them with the Rockies, and they took this time to do that. That meant so much.
Do you know what? That, in one shape and form, does not surprise me, because you're talking about three grade A humans that just happen to be great baseball players. I saw LaTroy and Michael at the ABCA, the Baseball Coaches Convention, about 2 months ago. Spent a lot of time with both of them. Love those guys. And they're just great people. And that's the fun part. And so for them to reach out to you, that's awesome. All right, I want to get to Hoda, because I was so... you know, I don't want to sound wrong, but I was so proud of you and pumped for you when I'm watching the, I mean, it's the damn Today Show, and that's Hoda Kotb, who I've always liked, because she comes across on air, we talked about this, as somebody you go, man, she's just, she'd be really fun to have a glass of wine with or to just talk to, because she seems so likable. And there you are sitting talking with her, and you killed it. You were great. You were you. That had to be really neat.
Thanks. It was. It was so cool. I think for me, like, if you want to talk about dream job, it would be to be on the Today Show. It always has been. I specifically that show, right? Like, growing up with it, the turnover of people that have been there, admiring so many along the way. So getting that call, first of all, I'll back up because I think you know the chaos of my day. So the announcement comes out. I'm getting on a flight to go call the Warriors basketball game as a fill-in play-by-play on the radio. I've never done radio play-by-play, and I've never done the NBA. So I've been prepping for this. The news breaks. It's chaotic. The media requests are coming in. You know, doing different things, trying to focus on that game, getting ready for it. I'm sitting there at the Chase Center in San Francisco. We're about to go on the air, and my agent's texting me. I'm rerouting your flight to New York. You're going to the Today Show in the morning. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what? This is happening? So now that's in the back of your mind, this excitement of that, but you got to focus on this. So it was really just this whirlwind. And getting to New York, of course, was, it just has to be this way. It ended up being, my flight was delayed. I get in at 1 in the morning. You got to get there at 6 a.m. I didn't have any clothes to wear on the show. So I'm like on the flight, like, on the Wi-Fi texting my friends to go like shopping on Nordstrom.com for me. And my agent's picking it up in New York. He picked up all these clothes, dropped them off at my hotel. I'm trying them on. It was just like this hilarious behind the scenes situation.
I didn't know this. So at 1 in the morning, you're trying on stuff you've never seen, knowing you got to be somewhere in like 25 minutes.
I mean,
4 hours later.
Yes, that's what
I didn't know that.
That is exactly what happened. And thank goodness for, like, makeup artists, because I got my hair and makeup done there, which was really cool. I'm sitting there getting my makeup done, and Carson Daly's sitting next to me. And I was just like, wow, this is so neat. And I didn't say anything to him, because we've been in those positions where I can tell he's working and, you know, you're spending that time wisely. And so I just kind of sat there, and he got up to walk and go do a segment and real briefly just touched my shoulder. He's like, Jenny, congratulations. We're all so excited for you. And kept walking like I couldn't even say anything because he was already gone. And just really neat place. And then they take you, like, after you get your hair and makeup done, they took me to get mic'd up. So I'm getting mic'd up, and then they walk you out, like, they're walking me out on the set, and they're just finishing up a segment. Hoda's at the desk with Craig, and as they go to break, I walk on, and she goes, there she is, Jenny! And she does, like, so genuine. And her and Craig start, like, clapping, and they're like, how exciting! Like, this is so great, we can't wait to have you on. And then like the stage manager whisks you around to the other side. There's like 20 people working in this set, you know, just to see from a television standpoint, like how the set's created and all the people working on it was cool. So then I'm just watching them do their thing. And I set, they had me sit on the couch. You know how they take that shot of you just like coming up and you're like smiling and waving.
Don't you feel like dorky? Like, what am I
supposed to do? I'm like, what am I supposed to do? But what's great is the camera that they have you on is also a teleprompter. And as you know, in our business, it's the words are coming across that they're reading. Well, because of what we do in the nature of our business in sports, we don't use teleprompters live at a game. Obviously, for play-by-play or even doing the pre- and post-game show, we don't use teleprompters. So I haven't really done a teleprompter show in quite some time. So I, like, found myself, like, practicing. I'm like, they're probably in the control room. Like, is she reading this teleprompter? But I was like, what would it be like to, like, read the news? So I'm, like, sitting there in my head, like, trying to follow along in the teleprompter. And then as soon as her segment was over, she came right over, gave me a huge hug. She's just like, girl, what's it been like? Like, you're making history. Like, this is amazing. And the way they research is so cool, because she was bringing things up about radio interviews I'd done that she was listening to, getting prepared for our interview, things I had said she wanted to talk about. Just, and this is all off camera. And it makes you feel very comfortable right away, but she is as advertised, if not more genuine. Her joy is like oozing out of her body. And I really think that's who she is. I think that's
absolutely
who she is.
You can't,
as a person. So, and then to just go on the set with her and do that segment and, you know, I was even like finding myself again admiring her from a business standpoint, because the way she was interviewing, I could tell she switched gears in the middle of it because she picked up on something I said and she leaned in a little closer and she like got back to it. And I was just, wow, that's like such a great interview tactic. Like I was just really impressed being on that set with her.
And even though you do this for a living, it's still the Today Show, as you said. It's still Hoda. And and again, we chatted about this. You know, you have to be a little nervous, right? And she probably helped dissipate whatever nerves you were feeling to a certain degree. Am I accurate?
Yeah, I think so. It's really funny because I think you're right. You do get nervous. There's a sense of nervousness, you know, for a lot of things you do. Even, you know, going on the air for the first time of a season. I'm sure you still get, like, you get those little butterflies of excitement, if you want to call them that. But that day, like, I don't know, I didn't really feel that nervous. And I think it's a credit to the people there and how they make you feel. And what a good lesson for us. Like, I'm on the other side right now and it is uncomfortable for me. But then I realized through the process, this is a great learning tool as well, because I'm often asking players quickly, like, oh, just, it'll take a couple minutes, just like 5 minutes of your time. And realizing, like, for them, that might be uncomfortable. That might be out of their comfort zone. And like, how do you connect with someone quickly and make them feel like it is a really comfortable environment for them to tell their story? So it's been kind of fun to flip on the other side and remember that as you are become the interviewer again in your real job.
speaking of your real job, I would think if for whatever reason, you know, a year from now I was doing another team, right? And I don't plan on that, knock on wood. I love where I am. But you're gonna, even though you know and you grew up in the game and people know that, you know, you've been – you know, in baseball your whole life, your dad's a wonderful coach, and but so it's not like you didn't know who the Oakland A's are, but all of a sudden you don't know the Oakland A's like the hardcore fan. And I would think one of the first things going through your mind, because this is what would go through my mind, is I have to study every waking hours. I have to study, and it's not just about the Reggie Jacksons and the Vita Blues. You kind of have to know some of the lesser, you know, the lesser stars, if you will, right?
Right. And honestly, that's something I haven't had to do in a long time. I mean, I remember when I got the job with the Rockies and going from the Padres to the Rockies, those feelings of like starting over, even just with the current team, like building those relationships, a lot of that takes time, and starting from scratch and feeling like you don't have your go-to people to talk to about, you know, what's going on in the clubhouse or the game or those things. Like, that's daunting in and of itself. But coming to Colorado, that was home for me. And I had a depth of history of the organization because I grew up in it as a fan. And now I'm switching to an organization that I, you know, did grow up rooting for the Bash Brothers. We loved Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco and, you know, Ricky Henderson. And when you look back to pre-Rockies time, like the end of the 80s, early 90s, like, those were some fun Oakland A's teams. So I know them and have watched them, but again, I've also been in the NL West my entire career, and you're going to a whole new division in the AL West, and the game's changed where, you know, everyone plays everyone in both in both divisions, in both leagues, but it's so overwhelming because it's not only just an organization of, like, the Oakland A's that moved there in the late 60s, they've been in two other cities, and there's a fourth city coming, perhaps even a fifth, depending on, you know, where they go next year to play their home games. So there's a huge history book. There's a lot of players that have changed faces just this year. They have a lot of prospects. That's how the Oakland A's are built. So you have to know not just the current team, who's coming, the history. I will rely absolutely on my partner in Dallas Braden, who was an Oakland A and who's been there for a long time, with some of those things that I'm trying to get caught up on. And then as the season builds, I have confidence in that what game one is and what game 162 is, I have an entire time frame in there to continue gaining information. But Drew, like, you nailed it. I am reading at all times. If I am cleaning the house, I have a podcast on about the Oakland A's. If I am driving, I am listening to a podcast. If I have free time, I'm reading articles and, you know, reading the media guide, which is very extensive for them and awesome. But it's a lot of studying right now, for sure.
So the kids now have their Rockies gear, and now they got, so we got purple covered, obviously, but now they got green and gold.
Yes, and it's so cute because, you know, Vincent and Emery have some, they've already established some Oakland A's gear because my husband's family, being from the Stockton area, they've been to the Coliseum, they've been to baseball games. So Vincent actually had an Athletics jersey. Emery had a Stomper stuffed animal already. And they both have asked me at separate times if they can still root for the Rockies. Like, they're very concerned about it. And I thought it was so cute. And I said, absolutely, that's your hometown team. But you're going to be watching a lot of A's games as well. So you might need to find a few new players you like.
Well, I'll let you answer this. I've gotten this question a couple times. People like, you know, so Jenny's moving to the West Coast, and that's not the case.
Not the case. Not right now. We're going to try and stay in Colorado, definitely for the time being. I'm going to do all the road games for the Oakland A's right now, and then a couple homestands. But again, with the uncertainty of where the Athletics will be playing in the future is a little bit a part of that decision right now.
Well, I speak for a lot of people, and you've heard from a lot of people. We're thrilled for you, proud of you, and you just answered a question because you know me. I don't know where I'm going tomorrow, and you told me that we're playing you guys, the Rockies are playing the A's in May, and it's out at your place, which means the Coliseum or Sacramento or San Jose or maybe
it's the
at
Coliseum.
A
or Til maybe the end of 2020.
It'll be the Coliseum.
You're at the Coliseum. You will be going to the Coliseum, but enjoy it because it could be your last time at the Coliseum until they re-sign a contract and play there next year, or maybe they won't. We don't know yet. But thank you, Drew. I really appreciate it. And from the bottom of my heart, I'm probably not going to look at you as I'm saying this because I might cry. But thank you for being so gracious in my opportunities to fill in for you. You've always been really supportive, and I'm really appreciative of you.
I love you to death. You have earned everything you've gotten in your career. You obviously earned this, and it's awesome. And now, you know, you can share like Hoda and Billie Jean King's cell phone with me because I can get them on the podcast.
No, right? Yeah. Hoda on the podcast, yeah. And drink some wine.
Hoda, this is Drew Goodman. You don't know who I am, but Jenny, right? You love Jenny.
Vincent thinks he's meeting Hoda when they go to New York for a game. He said, can we meet Mommy's friend at that show? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, congrats again.
Yeah.
Love you.
Love
ya.
Oh.
So Jenny's going to be busy. We all spend a lot of time on planes in this business, gladly so. But she's going to stay here in the state of Colorado, and with her husband Steve, and raise their two little ones, and that's awesome. But I'm so excited for her. So excited to hear her on games, and we play in Oakland this year, but she's not doing those games. The schedule didn't work out because she may have mentioned it because she has a family commitment with one of her little ones, but she's going to do great. And the people of Oakland and Northern California and wherever else A's fans are, they're going to come to adore just like Rockies fans have through the years. How's your bracket doing? How many of you crumbled up and thrown in the garbage already? It's going to be fun. We'll talk more about that next week. And we're going to get Buddy Black coming up, as we always do, to start the season, get his preview, his thoughts on the team that he'll be on the top step of the dugout directing here in 2024, because opening day is next Thursday. Looking forward to it. Always great visiting with you. Tell your friends, tell your partners. Big shout out to Marky for doing his thing. And stay well, as we'll talk in 7 days, folks.